Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Good morning. Welcome back to the third hour of the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:03 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down Port Mansfield way now. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Rihanna De La Cruz, see what she's up to this morning. Good morning, Rihanna. What's up?
Good morning, Mickey. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm good. It's all good. It's warming up. Loving this. It's 55 here this morning. I love it.
Yeah, it actually feels warm outside compared to how it has been.
Oh, it's man. Did y'all get real cold down there, too?
We got pretty cold. I mean, for down here, it dipped down pretty good, you know, for for a couple of nights. You know, it was in the 30s down here, which, you know, it stayed freezing for, you know, a couple hours, but not long enough to do any kind of substantial damage.
Man, we were deep freeze, you know, for a week. Man, it got down to the teens and 20s, and boy, it was kind of nasty.
It got cold like that up a little further north of us, you know, Baffin area, Rivera. I think it dipped down to about 18, 19 at my house in Rivera. So yeah, it was a cold one, but you know, down here we luckily were a little bit more protected.
Right.
But it's been an interesting week for sure, to say the least.
Right.
You know, it's weird to see and observe. You know, it's crazy whenever, you know, you go out there after these freezes and these little cold snaps, and you get to see everything that's going on, and then, you know, the trout that were catching right after the cold snap, you can tell they were a little stunned. Even the redfish too. You hook into one and it felt like you were pulling a brick. And, you know, they weren't fighting, they weren't, you know, and then you pull it in, you feel kind of bad, you know, feel kind of guilty.
How cold did y'all's water get?
It got to, you know, low 40s down here. It didn't,
pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cold. Yeah, it got pretty cold. I mean, when you're wading, you can't feel your toes. It's
I know.
You know, it's brutal.
It's,
I mean,
cold,
but, gosh, I feel worse for folks up north, you know, Matagorda area, and, you know, up in your neck of the woods. It's, you know, man,
yeah,
we had
waters getting the 30s here, you know.
Gosh, have you seen any reports of any bait floating around? Or?
No, I've heard of a few trout and reds and drum, but I mean, nobody's saying anything.
I haven't seen a whole lot. When I do see something, it's kind of hard to believe some things on the internet, but, you know,
right,
with how goofy people can be, but I won't believe it unless it's from a truly reliable source. Some of the pictures that I've seen look photoshopped, and so then you kind of, it's like the man who cried wolf after a while seeing all that, and then somebody does post a legitimate picture, and you're like, I don't know, you know. But I've heard further up north, Matagorda area, you know, some bait, you know, floating on the shorelines, mullet and stuff like that. But I haven't seen any, reports or pictures of lots of trout floating around up north.
Yeah.
So far, no news is good news, is what I always say.
Me too.
You know, and I don't think it stayed in the, and, you know, below freezing, the water temperature stayed below freezing long enough to do substantial damage, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that I was worried about, is that water temperature staying, you know, at a certain degree, you know, for a long period of time.
Right.
But luckily right after these little cold snaps, that sun will come out, man, it warms up that water in a hurry up shallow, and then all of a sudden that bait just starts going crazy. And most of those redfish and trout, you know, they'll naturally follow with. They'll go up in those shallow flats where it's a little bit warmer and just kind of hang out there. And, you know, the bite in the last week has been, it's fluctuated throughout the days. You know, I mean, the first 48 hours right after that cold snap is a hit or miss. You know, it seems like some of them are just ready to eat, and they're kind of just gorging themselves in preparation for what's happened or what they think might happen, and then after that, some just have like walk jaw. You know, it's hard to entice the bite. So the patterns after these big cold snaps can be kind of hard to obtain oftentimes whenever tides fall out, you know, areas kind of change up, water's murky, water's dirty. Areas where you were fishing, you know, tide fell up 6 inches and now it's, you know, below knee deep water. You know, it's a tough time of year. I will say that when these little cold fronts continue to blow in, you're continuously adapting to the conditions given. And that's where having an open mind, having a, you know, a take it as it comes and go with the flow mindset really comes in handy, because it's easy. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to get down. It's easy to, man, it's easy to just give up, you know. But days like this, when you're trying to get a pattern on them, you know, it's like the bite can be later in the day. And I mean late in the day. It's hard. It's hard to sit around and anticipate all morning and go out late, you know. As a guide, you know, I'm used to going out first thing in the morning. And whenever I wait until 12 o'clock, it throws me off. Mentally, it throws me off. And all morning, you have this anticipation of the day. And so it kind of drags you down mentally. And then the day seems a little bit longer. But when the bite tends to be later in the day, because that water temperature warms up, you know, that sun will come out later, warm up the flats, warm up that grass, you know, they'll come up a little bit shallower and they'll start to feed when they're good and ready. But man, when they're not good and ready, it's tough. You know, you start thinking, man, I wonder if maybe I'm not throwing the right profile, maybe I'm not throwing the right color, you know, maybe I'll downsize. But really and truly, I think when they're ready to eat, they'll eat just about anything you put in front of their nose.
We got a warm stretch coming, and they'll go nuts during that.
They're fixing to turn on, you know. here lately, it's been hard to really grasp a pattern on them, just because of the conditions that we've had down here. The wind, sometimes the wind will die down, it'll pick back up. Yesterday we had a pretty strong south wind, southeast wind, so it changed up a lot of areas. You know, it changed up the pattern, changed up the right. wade. You know, and so you. Constantly adapting, you know, this time of year is interesting. It's always something new every day that we go out here. And so, you know, of course, the water clarity after it's been blowing with the north wind, it's usually pretty chalky. So we're throwing darker colored baits, watermelon, gold glitter, June bug, you know, tails. As far as porkies, you know, I'm having a lot of luck with anything with copper or gold shimmer and silver shimmer as well. But with a sartreuse bottom or chin right in that strike zone, man, they're slamming those porkies and soft bonds whenever they decide to commit. But when that barometer is starting to rise later in the day or throughout the day, I'll downsize to that little smaller golden grim or watermelon copper glitter. Gosh, that bait, those two baits there have been working very well for us. And chalky to somewhat clear water when that sun comes out, man, it just shimmers through that water beautifully. And it'll tend to entice a little strike here and there. But, you know, what? The things that we're seeing out there, you know, I mean, there's not a whole lot of bait. We did, one of my friends foul hooked a pinfish the other day, which was very surprising to see.
Yeah, you know, that's lazy here. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I figured, you know, all of that bait would have exited the premises by now. And then not only that, saw one piece of shrimp jump yesterday. I was pulling my lure out of the water and he just jumped right there. So wow, man, look at that. There's some smaller profile bait still, you know, still hanging around.
Right.
But you know, that piece of bait was way up shallow in that warmer bottom, you know. I mean, it was a little bit muddier, you know, grassy.
Well, that softer bottom would definitely hold more heat, you know, than
absolutely.
Sand,
really. I can tell you, it was at least a 5-degree difference from that bottom structure knee deep to, grass scattered sand pockets that was about waist deep. That was right. At least a 5-degree difference. That's mainly what we're targeting, this time of year, whenever it gets really cold like that, I just naturally look and feel for that warmer water that's just a little bit above knee deep water. And, having a lot of luck in areas like that, but right. It's been a grind. You might be casting for 2 hours and not get a bite, or an hour and not get a bite. But you're working areas thoroughly, and instead of making, 2 to 3 casts in an area, you're making, 5 casts and fanning out and dissecting the area as a whole rather than just wading through it completely. Because I always think, how many times have I been just 10 feet off, 10 feet off from a trout that was right in front of me and I cast it a little bit.
Sometimes you got to hit them in the head, man. You got to put it right on them.
I always wonder that, how many times I just missed her by a couple feet.
Seen that before. Well,
mm-hmm.
I know you got a fish this morning. You can only do this segment with me. If somebody wants to get with you, Rihanna, and come down and fish with you, give them some info how they can get a hold of you.
My number is 361-296-5400. I'm down here in Port Mansfield, Texas. Come give me a call. It's Make a Wave.
All right. Sounds good. Well, you have a good trip today. Y'all catch them
Thank
up.
You,
good
Mickey.
Luck to you. All right.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. All right. That's Rihanna Dela Cruz down in Port Mansfield. And I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. If you've never been there, you owe it to yourself to make a drive by there and check it out. They're a short drive from Sealy off I-10 or Hempstead off 290. Go downtown and look for the big white sign. Their processing facility and meat market are right next door to one another. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their smoked sausage samples. They have those available daily in the store. You can try it before you buy it. Find the blend you really like the best. Plus, they have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all of their pecan smoked sausage and all the other great products they have there in the store. And processing, it's still going on. The Belleville never closes. They process year-round at their facility. And check out their new sausage recipe. They have that available now. You got to try it. It's really good. And while you're doing that, get some deer tamales made, venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep, each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of Season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 620 here in the Bayou City. Let's go down to South Padre and let's check in with Captain Brian Brera this morning. Good morning, Brian. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, sir. How you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing better. I ended up feeling a little sick the last couple of days, but started feeling a lot better as the day went on yesterday. So things are back to normal almost.
Yeah, it's going around, back, buddy. It's going around.
Yeah, it's kind of going around with the weather and whatnot, you know. But I did get in a bunch of fishing last week before I got sick, so.
Yeah, it's probably what so got you was, sick.
Probably what got me there, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That was good.
Yeah, we were fishing in really cold, rainy stuff for the most part of the week, you know.
Right.
It was cold and rainy, but the fishing's been really good for the last few weeks.
Well, that's good.
We've been catching a whole lot of speckled trout, you know, especially last week. We've been catching a lot of nice trout, fishing a lot deeper stuff, you know.
Right.
Cold water kind of got them 5 foot deeper range for me.
Right.
And that's been good. We've been throwing big 3/8 ounce jigs down to the bottom and bottom bouncing them like that. For the ones that are sitting down low, most of them are sitting way on the bottom, basically belly scraping.
Yeah.
On the bottom down there.
Bottom hugging, baby. Warmest water will be right there on the bottom.
Yep. You get them up from catching them and you know, their bellies are all red and stuff like that. Sometimes you'll see, like, weird little animals. They're, like, attached to their bellies, like little weird-looking things. Like, I don't know what the heck they are. Weird little ocean living creatures.
Oh, little leeches on them? Leech bites on their bellies?
Like, yeah.
I get that off the bottom. You can tell when those fish have been rubbing the bottom of, especially trout bellies, the white bellies. You'll see those little red marks on them where the leeches get them.
Yep. That's kind of where they've been down there.
How cold did y'all get down there, Brian?
Temperature-wise outside, it was like, you know, 31 was the lowest I saw, but that was literally for like 5 hours or so.
Yeah, that's not
we jumped back up to 32, 33, didn't get bad. Our water temperature, I never saw. I mean, some people were saying that they saw it in the upper 40s on the flats and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's not. That's
but I never saw it go down below 56, personally.
Yeah. I got you. Wish ours would have been that.
Yeah, or maybe it was 51 when I went in there on the coldest day after the really cold weather. I went in there, and it was 51. But that was still probably warmer than it was the day before because the coldest day was raining all day, so I didn't.
Well, that's cold water for down there, you know. That's highly unusual, but. It does happen.
It had fish starting to get into their panic freeze mode, you know. Uh-huh. It wasn't like all of the like spots where everybody goes and like destroys the fish and the game wardens and stuff have to shut it down after the freeze.
Right.
Like, they didn't start showing up in those spots yet, but the people started showing up and taking a gander at it, you know what
I
mean?
They
know what's happening, and some of my friends that went and checked out some of the spots said that there was no bites happening, nothing really, other than like one or two fish, you know, your average fishing spot.
Right.
So we didn't get any kind of hardcore freeze conditions. My friend was out on the flats yesterday and caught limits of redfish and trout. So our fish,
that's good.
I don't know if they necessarily left the flats, you know, or it wasn't a mass exodus, you know. There's still some fish on the flats, so.
Right.
Everything seems to be all right. I didn't see a single dead fish or anything, so.
Nah.
I saw some reports, like Louisiana and other places.
Boy, I saw some bad pictures from over that way. Gosh.
Yeah, Louisiana was looking too good, and then now they're saying even worse news, that darn whole generation of crawfish bit the dust, probably what they're saying this year. There's not going to be much of a crawfish harvest in that, you know. I could hear the people from Houston yelling about that.
Just when they were saying this is going to be a banner year, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I was seeing, talking about, they had 10 inches of snow in some of those places where they have crawfish farms
and
stuff.
Crazy. Man, I had like 5 at my house on Trinity Bay.
Well, I had a slab of ice on my boat when I went outside, and that was about it, you know. But I'm the furthest south down here, you know, so I stayed a little bit warmer than the rest of the area. But, yeah, I had one good slab of ice on my boat when I came in, when I woke up in the morning, and that was it. No snow, none of that.
No.
I mean, it was definitely snowing for a lot of other people. I got pictures from the ranch. And dang, ice on the floor, you know, of the ranch, you know, all the grass is frozen and stuff, which really worries me because
our Blaine
quail
was
population was just going berserk right now.
Came through it fine, according to Blaine. You know, he started graining that morning, you know, putting his milo and wheat and all that out he feeds the quail with, and they were coming out of the woodwork like crazy. So they made it.
Oh, thank God.
And they're killing them good. They're jumping a bunch of coveys a day with dogs, big time.
That's good. Yeah, so old Fred Adams sent me a selfie. He said he ran into Blaine at the gas station. And
oh, really?
Was hanging out with him, yeah. And it was actually about an hour after one of Blaine's guide buddies called me up and booked a trip for him and Blaine to come down and catch some fish.
He said
he's just waiting for Blaine to finish shooting the dove or shooting the quail, and they're going to come down here and try to catch a couple of snook.
That'll be fun. Blaine will like that.
Yeah, yep. That'll be fun. You know, snook fishing was pretty good, too, last week, speaking of snook, you know.
Yeah, I saw y'all were catching some pretty nice fish before, you know, the weather.
Sir. Yep, we've been getting some good ones. Not as good as the trout fishing had been. You know, lots of my snook holes, once it got cold and the trout started getting a little bit deeper,
mm-hmm.
You know, the trout started taking over the snook holes, just like we talked about last time. We had that cold weather. You know, I was thrown into my 18-foot deep snook holes, bouncing on the bottom, getting a mega thump, thinking I'd be hooked a slob snook, and the water's clear. You got about 8 foot of visibility. You see a trout head shaking, 27-inch trout coming up from the bottom. Looks pretty cool. You know, seeing them crystal clear come up head thrashing like that.
Boy,
you know,
that's some clean water there, buddy. You bet.
Yeah. But they are they're mega aggressive compared to the snook, you know. So
you
got to get into some places and catch 8 or 10 trout before your lure will get down to the bottom. You know, you can actually try to get the snook. But we've been catching, you know, 15 to 25 snook a day. I didn't work yesterday, but the day before we got 25 snook and lots of very nice trout. We've been catching a lot of accidental flounder, too, you know, on accident.
Really?
Yeah, you know, where you just set the hook and doesn't come out jumping, doesn't come out head shaking, and it's starting to, it's way down on the bottom, looking like a, you know, it's like an up and down type thing when they're reeling it in. It looks like a Jack Crevel would be doing, but it's not pulling any drag.
Right.
It turns out to be a nice, lucky accidental flounder. And that's been pretty cool. And getting some chunky ones, too, you know.
What have you been mostly throwing at them? How you been catching them?
Probably 90% of the fish that we're catching is on a jig head anywhere from 1/8 to 3/8. And I'm putting it on a DOA shrimp, glow color.
Yeah, the glow shrimp.
The classic glow shrimp with a chartreuse head. And I've been seeing rafts and rafts of mullet, tons of mullet with this cold. The mullet kind of showed up, and they're like, there's just these schools of mullet from like 4 foot down to like 15 foot. I can see them on my screen. They're just thick. You can't see them on the surface. Every once in a while you see one come up and flip, but you're seeing the pelicans dive down and smash on them, and there's just so much mullet right now. I was using the shrimp lure and the bait fish imitation, you know, and the shrimp was just 4-1 on catches compared to the bait fish. And I felt like there's just so much mullet right there. Those fish can just swim up and eat one whenever they want, you know.
Right.
And the mullet are kind of suspended, so a nice shrimp sinking down on the bottom kind of caught their attention a little bit. You would think that a little bait fish falling down out of those schools of mullet would really fire them up too, but I don't know. For some reason, the shrimp just seemed to be getting. I was seeing a lot of shrimp jumping and shrimp popping.
Something different. Something, you know, they're tired of looking at the same old stuff. Different. Something different to eat. Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah, and lots of times there's stuff going on down in the bottom there that we don't know, you know.
Well, true. They may be rooting shrimp out of the mud, you know.
Yeah, it could be since they're sitting so down low there. You want to eat shrimp down there or something.
No, right now. There's still a lot of white shrimp in the bay up here. You know, shrimper the other day caught about 350 pounds. And
oh, wow.
Was really surprised, you know, especially after all this cold weather.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the best year I've had throwing the shrimp. I'm usually throwing a 4-inch jerkbait by this time of the year.
Right.
I'm sure we could catch them on it. We had been throwing a little bit. Like, some of the guys will show up with their own gear and their own lures that they like, or their own little homemade lures or whatever they just enjoy. I tell them, just if you got your own plastics that you really enjoy throwing, just bring them. We'll see if they work. And it's like everybody to have fun. And the least different I make it for them, the easier it is for them to fish also, you know, so keep them with their confidence baits lots of times. And if their bait's not working, we'll switch them up and get them on what I'm throwing, you know. But it's all good. Bite's generally been good, so, you know.
What,
good times right now. We're not in this really tough time, so it's happening.
You know, this time you're fishing that clear water and deeper. What size line and leader material are you using with these baits?
So it's tough because you'd like to use a little bit lighter leader, but darn, 31-inch snook will wear through 25 pound on the initial run. So I try to go with. I wish I could do 20 all the time, but I go with 30. I start off with 30.
Right.
And if it's a really tough bite, I'll drop down to 20 with like a 3-foot leader, 2.5-foot leader long one.
Mm-hmm.
And if the bite is great and I'm getting tired of having to retie after every two fish or something like that, you know, I'll put on 50. And we'll just wear them out with 50 and you only have to retie every once in a while with that.
Yeah, because when they're lit off like that and biting good, you don't need that light leader. You know, they'll...
They're going to eat. You just want something. And we're hooking big fish, or if I'm dock fishing and stuff like that,
Yeah, especially dock fishing. You're in all that structure, too. You need some stronger leader in case you rub on something.
So they'll do two weird things. It's almost exactly opposite. It's weird. I still don't have them figured out. But, you know, during this kind of weather, they'll either be on the very bottom, just chilling, just like those trout were, belly scraping, red bellies on the bottom sitting, or these snook will be lots of times the dock snook, the ones that live in the docks rather than the rocks and mud. I'll get on schools of dock fish, and those fish are suspended like outside of the dock. They come out of the dock to try to warm up and get in the sun, and they'll be, you know, 10 yards outside of the dock, a school of 15 of them suspended 1 foot below the surface. And if you stand on your tower on a clear, nice, sunny day, you can see them. And that's
really?
That's when I'll throw like
your
a weightless jerkbait. Yeah, I'll throw a weightless jerkbait with like 3 foot of 30-pound leader. You get those fish to bite, you know?
Right.
So it's weird. They'll either be doing one of the two, which is like the exact opposite. It's kind of crazy. I mean, I'm sure some are suspended, but I know those big groups like to kind of get up near the surface and float.
Yeah.
On those clear bluebird sunny sky days, you know.
Yeah, I've seen that with big trout in the past when you're in deep water, but the fish are like in the top 2 feet of the column just floating around together, you know, in big
schools. I've seen
the
tarpon
like
a whole lot as well.
Right. Cool. Man.
It's pretty neat. You didn't get to seal the deal on a buck this year after all?
Nope, I never did pull the hammer on a big one. It just wasn't meant to be. I saw a couple, but they were way out and on does, never would get close.
And that was me last year. I got lucky this year.
Boy, I tell you, man, that was a beautiful deer you killed, and Blaine killed him a good one, and it was y'all's year. I mean, that's the way it works.
Yeah, me and Blaine were on, like, side-by-side tracks there, killing cool stuff next to each
other. That's right. Y'all were right down the road from each other, but, man, he went out with a bang. He killed some beautiful deer, his customers did.
Oh, that was
beautiful.
That's great. I'm glad it was a good deer season. I had a feeling that we were going to have some good deer. It was really green all year. We had a lot of rain.
Yeah, you got the rain at the right time, man. That makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
Yep. I was just hoping that they'd have a reason to come out, you know, and got rain at the right time, then it dried out at the right time, you know.
Well, and it was the first real rut during horn season. You know, usually the best of the rut comes after the season closes.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
It was perfect. Perfect timing. Let me knock this break out. Brian, I'll be right back at you. We'll talk a little deer when I come back.
Sure.
Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. They're located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. You can check them out firsthand at the store. They have all their different size bottles on display, plus their regulators, diffusers. They even refill your bottles right there at the store. If you need more info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And while you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood. No farm raised at Boyd's. And if you're looking for the big 9, 12s, 15, 18s, whatever count you like, they always have them. Great price, great availability, and their Cajun Grill next door puts out some really good food at affordable prices. Check them out on the web at boydsonestop.com or call the store at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Final segment already. All right, Brian, we are back, my friend.
All right.
Well,
we were chatting hunting, I think.
Yeah, we were kind of getting started on deer hunting. Yeah, there were some really good deer killed this year down in your area. You know, just
yeah, my brother shot a really good one, too.
Oh, your brother did? He got him a good one?
My brother shot a pretty good one. Not as good as mine, of course, and I'll make sure I let him know that. but he shot himself a really good one, too, and, you know, a really old buck for our area. We hadn't been seeing a lot of old bucks, and we were kind of been thinking, like I may have spoke with you before about that. We border a 12,000-acre low-fence ranch, and we think some of the older bucks been getting their butts kicked by some of the younger bucks, and you know, coming our way. Like, I don't know if my buck would have been better last year or not, but, you know, he was definitely on his way out. And I'm wondering if they're getting their butts whipped and they're just having to find new territory wandering over into our ranch, you know, or it could just be the rut. But they were coming from the two that we saw, and then I saw another one that I let go. They all came from the direction of that ranch. We were probably, you know, 500 yards from the fence line, but and I can't see it, but they're coming from that direction, you know, so it's most likely that they were from there.
Probably so.
I know they've got some food plots and stuff over there, so I know they've got a group of like 30 pigs that run over to our place every once in a while. I've only been able to take out about, it's a group of 30. I've taken out about 40 of them, and it's still a group of 30. I don't get it.
Yeah. Hey, that'll always be that way.
Yeah, it's a group of 30 pigs. I've shot about 40 of them in the last year. It's still 30, so I don't know what the heck's going on. But dealing with those things, and I was going to tell you about how I was racked up. I had a good hunting year this year, and it's all good. I got a lot of meat. Boy, I racked up a taxidermy bill. My taxidermist was in town. And he picked up my Neil guy. He picked up my whitetail. He picked up two chakalakas that me and my fiance shot. And he picked up a really nice blue quail that I shot that I'm getting mounted on a piece of petrified wood from my mom's ranch.
Right.
So I sent him Neil guy, whitetail, two chakalakas, and a blue quail. And I'm like, oh my gosh, please let me take you fishing for free today as part of the please let me do the barter
for the
system.
Deposit anyway. Yeah. You're going to run up the tab on that, brother.
Yeah. So, but it's all right because I figure I only have to pay for half of it now. I have to pay for half of it when I get it. So we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, my biggest stringer I ever caught in my life, I wanted to get all 10 of them mounted, but I couldn't afford it. Five broke the bank just having five done on a stringer.
And wow.
It,
that's probably
work ain't cheap, man.
Yeah, I mean, guys, I mean, on good replica, guys are charging $25 an inch and stuff, you know.
For a replica. Wow, I wonder what a skin mount is now.
I don't know. It's hard to find a skin mount person nowadays, you know.
And yeah.
It's just kind of hard. You know, I've gotten some really quality. I don't have a single fish mount, as many fish as I catch. I've never gotten a single one mounted. I've got a lot of deer and stuff, but I did send my friends over at a taxidermist company in Florida. I sent them maybe 30 mounts this year. I'm talking bull reds and everything, a couple full-size tarpon. So they hit me up and asked me which fish I'd like to mount.
Wonder what a full-size tarpon would be.
Ooh. The guy who's got twin full-size tarpon mounted, him and his fiance, he owns a giant hotel in Austin, Texas.
Right.
And he said he's putting them in, like, the inside of the hotel right when you get in. And he's writing it off for the hotel, too. And I was like,
that'll look
there you
cool.
go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, go stay the night there. I like to go there. But, getting a bunch of the cool things, you know, and the chakalakas, I think, are going to be pretty cool. It's a pretty rare bird to shoot.
Right.
And, got a couple of them finally. Yeah. So I think I'm pretty excited about it. We just bought a house. We moved into a new house, hanging some deer. We got some wall space now.
Yeah. So were you, got engaged there, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes,
how about
sir.
That? Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yep. Found one who's willing to deal with me, so.
Well, you get a good one. Hang on to them. I got lucky, too, you know.
So, yep. We hunt and fish together all the time, so, you know, life is good. Life is great.
That'll work. I'm
enjoying it.
Yes.
I'm going to start back up tomorrow. I got today off, but I'll be back on the grind tomorrow. I got a snook fish. Couple of days, and then I got a flats fish a few days after that, and then we're almost going to start getting into like mid-February comes around, and we'll start going and laying into a bunch of sheep's head. I do a lot of kids trips. That's when I got a lot of families that they book me every year because they love to bring their kids down. That's the only time when I'm like, you can bring six people on the boat if you want to.
Yeah.
I don't care. Normally I'm like two people, three people max, you know, four people if I'm really hurting for some money. But sheep's head season is when I tell them, just bring everybody. Bring your old grandma, bring the grandpa, everybody who can't fish. Bring them all. Make sure they got fishing licenses.
bring them down, we'll load them up, bait them up, and let them bow up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, that's the fun trip right there. You can just drop your line over the side, catch your sheep's head. They're ready to, you know, I love taking beginners to do that. Although, you know, personally, I like to chase trophy fish and do all that, you know, but I like to still really enjoy putting people on fish no matter what it is. Still
right.
Still gets me going, you know, and that's why it's easy to go to work every single day. But, you know, just lots of people who can't fish, you know, or don't fish that much, or beginners for fishing kids, things like sheep's head and schoolie trout, schools of skipjacks, baby Jack Revelle schools, stuff like that, like it fires them up. They get fired up because lots of times these kids are, they don't care about what they're eating. They're going to order some chicken strips or something on the way home anyways, and they just want to get a tug and a lot of them, you know. And that's one of my favorite things, one of my favorite ways to get people addicted to fishing and teach people what fighting a fish is like, how to fight a fish, play the drag, play the line right, you know. And then you can take them out on the flats, the kids and stuff, and start doing crazy things. It's just a nice, easy form of fishing, you know, where I say bring one, bring all.
Wow.
They taste really good, you know. It's cool.
Yeah, y'all still get a lot of spring breakers down there in the spring, don't you?
Yep, we get a lot of spring breakers now. And so this year my trips are kind of the whole month of March is getting pretty busy because now they're doing like a spring break and like a fall break type of thing. So it's kind of weird. They're kind of like rescheduling the spring break for a lot of kids in my area. They've broken it up into like certain weeks. Usually I used to have just one really busy week. Now I've got a few busy weeks because all the schools are kind of getting separated because they're doing like a fall break, spring break kind of thing now or something.
Yeah,
I'm not really too sure what it is. It's just what I've been reading in some of the emails I'm getting.
Yeah, things are different now on this school stuff. Some of them are going 4 days a week. You know, it's
yeah.
Wish I had done that when I went to school.
So. Yeah, me neither. I had to skip school if I wanted to go fishing during the week.
I know if the trout run was really big, my mom would let me skip out and get on a good trout run.
Yeah, I used to have the Ron Papil pocket fisherman. Remember that thing?
Yeah. Ron Papil pocket fisherman.
Yeah, and I'd have it in my backpack. I'd walk in the front of the school. My mom dropped me off. I'd walk right out the side. Me and my friends would go fish the dock with our little micro rods and stuff and catch a bunch of little trout and stuff. Show back up when it was time to catch the bus home.
Right.
Because our high school in Port Isabel is right across from the flats.
Boy. Well.
So, that was good times.
You grew up down there.
Yes, sir. I've been down here most of my life. We moved around a lot when I was real young.
Right.
But by the time I was like in the fifth grade or so, we were back here. My dad's from Port Isabel originally. I'm third generation.
Okay.
Port Isabel. So, we like
it. Who did you used to fish a lot with growing up? Was it Skipper?
Skipper Ray, I learned a lot from Skipper Ray.
Yeah.
I didn't fish with too many people growing up. I fished, you know, by myself and with my dad. That was one of the things that I felt that helped me actually in the long run was that a lot of the old guides were kind of grumpy and I was trying to become a guide and a good fisherman. I didn't get that much help. I went out and learned almost everything by myself. I got skunked so many times in my life. It is crazy. Mickey, it's crazy. But eventually it kind of things just start happening for you and it's really good. And then once I did start getting some friends, you know, like Skipper Ray and Captain Ed Zayak, Captain Joey Farah, guys who, you know, survived being a fishing guide, a full-time guide for a really long time. You have to be good to survive in this game.
Oh, you do.
As a full-time guide, you know, you have to be good and you have to have a good woman, you know, and you got to survive. And so I respect everybody that's been a full-time guide and made a living working like this, you know, because I know how hard it is only being in it for 12 years. I can't imagine the guys who were doing it for that long, you know, it's crazy. So, you know, I really look up to those people. And once I started getting help from those guys, a lot more things started clicking for me, too. You know,
right. People
taught me how to. I used to be a bait chunker when I first started. I just wanted to crush every redfish that existed with a cut mullet. That's what I wanted to do. And started getting into the lures, and I wanted to be the lure guy, you know, my passion is still to throw the lures, you know. But you just meet certain people that teach you certain things that can influence you and change the whole direction of what your fishing career is going to be. You know, I started meeting some guys that introduced me to tarpon fishing and stuff. And I started looking, I was like, holy cow, there's actually tarpon and snook in South Texas. Started doing that. You know, I caught one big tarpon and then my life changed forever. Absolutely. You know, so yeah,
big trout, big tarpon and big snook. That pretty much ruins a person. Just ruins it
yep.
life.
Yep, that'll do it for me. That's why I catch all them big fish and I take my vacations. I go crappie fishing, you know.
Yeah, I go take it easy on my shoulder. Freezer meeting. Yeah, some of that laid back fishing.
Yeah, we're gonna eat some crappie here pretty soon. I went out on that trip. I couldn't find anybody in November that would run a crappie trip for me because everybody up north was saying it was too cold or the lake was too low.
Yeah.
And I found one kid out in Laredo, Texas, at Lake Casablanca. And he seemed like a little go-getter. He's like, yeah, we'll go get him. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And we went up to the ranch in Zapata, and then we went hunted one day, and then we went to Lake Casablanca, and shoot, that guy had us on that live scope. We got 41 crappie. And it was cold outside. It must have been 50 degrees. And we got 41 crappie that day. That was pretty nice for late November. It was like November 22nd or something.
Yeah. That's
brought them back home, and I've got big old bags that we're about to. I've vacuum sealed them. Now we're gonna have a big old fish fry.
Fry, buddy. There's nothing that's hard fish to beat. It's really good. It's a switch, you know. I enjoy them.
We're looking forward to it. We're going to probably do that today. I got my brother coming in town.
Well, how warm are y'all down there now? Y'all warmed up pretty good now.
And it looks yesterday was the warmest day we've had in a few weeks.
Or 10 days of this, so it's going to get good.
Yeah, I mean, shoot. It's going to be in the 60s today, I guess, 70s. Yeah, probably mid-70s today. It's going to be a little windy, but it's been it's been so cold. It's just getting better. Like, I was really earning it.
With those warm temperatures, that'll warm that water up quick, too. That'll help.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Some south. We could use a little bit of wind out of the south, too. It would be nice.
Yeah.
Let me see what it's blowing out of right now. It's going to be blowing out of the south 20 today. So that'll fill some water back up. We've had mega low tides, you know, just low tide winter.
We have, too. We've had some really low ones.
Oh, yeah, like I'm driving to the dock, and I'm seeing new stuff that I haven't seen before, and I'm just like, wow, freaking, am I going to be able to load my boat today, you know? There's been a couple of shady ones where I've actually had to have my client, like, kind of keep an eye on the boat for me. You know, usually I like to be left alone when I load the boat. I got my system, you know, but a couple of days I actually needed some help where my trailer was grinding, you know.
Well, all right, Brian. Well, I enjoyed the conversation with you, buddy. You, I'm glad you're feeling better, getting over that illness, and good luck this week fishing. Somebody wants to call you about coming down and getting, will you give them some info how they can get a hold of you, man?
Sure. This is a great time to get a hold of me. I've got a lot of availability right now coming up over March, April, and May especially. Best way would be a direct phone call or text, area code 956-755-9413. Or you can check out the website, inshorefishingsouthpadre.com, for any other information.
All right. Well, Brian, always a pleasure talking to you. You take care, my friend.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you, Brian. See you, buddy. All right, later. All right, that's Captain Brian Barrera down in South Padre, Port Isabel. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back next Thursday morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.